Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
No place to go, darling.
Somewhere in America,
baby,
a little boy or a little girl is waking up this morning with dreams of being a punter. That's the kind of inspiration you could take from last night's riveting, spine-tingling. Ooh, I still feel excited about Super Bowl. Is it 53, 54? Does it matter?
Say it was 55.
It was 53?
L-I-I-I.
Holy crap, that was a terrible game.
I didn't think so.
How could you not say it was a terrible game?
Well, I mean, I certainly think the Rams offensively were terrible.
So were the Patriots. It was ridiculous. Yeah. Listen how high my voice is getting. But it must have been bad.
But the game was
defensive play.
Game was tied in the fourth quarter. I mean, how many times have you seen blowouts in these games?
I think if you check the ratings on this game, because the ratings traditionally go down in a bad game in a Super Bowl, by the fourth quarter, I'm almost positive. We won't know until this morning. But I'm almost positive. Watching paint dry will have higher numbers.
How much you want to bet?
$1 million.
Ooh. You're on.
Did you hear that? He was very aggressive with you there,
Wait
Steve.
A minute. I don't really have $1 million.
How much
to
you
bet.
Want to bet?
It was so boring that I had Downton Abbey in the second screen.
Yeah, but that was... You already were going to do that anyway, Steve.
Well, and
it could have been 34,
it
31.
It was the Downton Abbey with the car chase.
Yeah.
It's one of the good ones.
Like, yeah. And the one where they're all sitting around watching the Premier League.
Yes, exactly.
That was really exciting.
I'm telling you.
And I kept waiting for good commercials. All there were was promos.
You know, it was a good commercial?
Show.
The Jason Bateman in the elevator commercial.
That was the best.
By the way, I called him Jason Alexander on Twitter. I got barbecued because he wasn't. But Jason Bateman's commercial, I wanted to say, but again, I don't remember what it was for.
Hyundai.
I was for Hyundai.
Ah, that's why I don't remember what it was for.
That's one of the only commercials I remember because, well, I was at a party, so there was a lot going on. But yeah, that was the only one I remember.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah.
She was at a party and with grandbaby.
It wasn't like a real, it was just a few of us.
She's
and the grandbaby.
Party now 5 times since 5:45.
Partay.
I don't go to many parties, so hey, when I get invited to one, it's kind
of
fun.
Dave, I'm telling you, man, you're on an island. The game sucked.
I know I'm on an island. I knew I was going to be on an island. I'm just telling you, the game's... you have a Super Bowl tied in the fourth quarter.
Ugh.
I have to say, the
defensive player of the year, Aaron Donald, was in the Super Bowl, and he proved it. He and the defense stopped Tom Brady when they needed to.
The rules have been tilted in the NFL to make the offense, 65-70% more likely to score than the defense likely to stop.
Yeah, right.
So in a game like that, the biggest game of the year, to have a 13-3 final, which really, that was more of a 6-3 final than a 13-3 final, to have it go down that way, ugh. You know what it was with, ugh. I still have the aftertaste in my mouth. And by the way, what the hell was that halftime show?
Ugh.
What happened there?
What offended you about that?
I'm still looking for the pips.
Offended? I was like, well, okay, what happens now?
What are you looking for, man?
The pips. I wanted them to come out. Gladys Knight came
I mean,
alone,
I like Maroon.
No pips.
I like Maroon 5, but Adam Levine looked like he was only mildly interested to be there. I didn't even buy him taking his shirt off.
No?
He doesn't do anything for me. How about you, Mayor?
No, I don't find him like he's not one of my cuties.
But did we get the name of the tattoo artist that mugged him? There's no way he agreed to have all those on his own.
He was from California, obviously.
I was asked, though, to rewind it at halftime for the ladies.
Shirt?
Yeah, when he did the shirt toss, the ladies in the room wanted to see it to make sure they'd seen what they thought they saw.
I thought the commercial that led into the halftime show with all the players.
Tremendous.
That was great.
Tremendous. The NFL 100 commercial. Yeah.
Was it Travis Scott that was swearing so it kept getting bleeped? I don't understand why he was swearing. Bleeping. Well, maybe he swears a lot.
But
it
I mean,
just
this
isn't
is the
fun
Super
to watch.
Halftime show.
Yeah, we don't need any bleeping.
I guess my point is for them to be surprised in any form. Like, I don't understand how it's not already in contract that says this is the song you're going to play and don't swear. There are millions.
Well, that's not the first
kids.
Time it's happened.
Yeah,
and you know the kids around the field. You know the kids around the field. The kids that ran out just in an improv way. The kids just happen to be on the field.
It's kind of like Travis Scott. You're kind of like, it's not really that rebellious. You know what you're doing. You could play by the rules. You're doing the Super Bowl to begin with.
I don't know the whole thing.
I was not a big fan of him going, you know what? I'm going to swear.
This is the whole thing.
There is a photo gallery up at WGNradio.com, and I'm going to put it on the Steve Cochran Show.
Of people sleeping?
Twitter. No, of all of our Super Bowl, all of our different Super Bowl parties, and which features your feet, because your feet were up on an ottoman. Because you had helped your daughter move.
Yeah, you know what I spent most of the afternoon doing yesterday, and it's a good time, and I'm available for hire, is chipping ice off her driveway. Now, it's 52 degrees right now in Chicago, which is 75 degrees warmer than it was last Wednesday morning when I came to work. So ice shouldn't be an issue, but it's going to get colder again this week. But there was a quarter inch of ice, solid ice on her driveway.
What were you using to chip?
A shovel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's not very good.
It's like a prison break.
Because you guys, when you got there, you're like, oh, you haven't been there every day.
It's dangerous if you're moving stuff in, falling on the ice.
I did the same thing yesterday.
Chip
and ice. Get a little momentum going, and it's not too bad. Crack the ice a little bit.
There's a little victories where you get chunks cracked.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of fun,
and you shovel
isn't it?
And throw.
It's addicting.
Fun. You know, until I saw that Super Bowl, I wouldn't have called it fun, but it was more fun than the game.
It's funny. There's a listener from the 219 saying they had a 3-3 had 3-3, and so they won. At the Super Bowl party I was at, the hostess of the party had 3-3, so she won their own squares game.
How much did she win?
The third quarter that she won she got 100 and then 500 for the...
Wow. Whoa, that paid for the party.
Not that party.
But it was it was funny when the whole, you know, they were trying to call scam on it, but there's... You know, the numbers are picked.
Did the host ask about me? Because this is like the 10th year in a row, 20th year in a row.
Steve Shapiro was at that party, and he asked about you. He said, how long till Steve gets here? So he brought you up. But I said...
I was afraid if I left to go to a party or go anywhere else, I'd miss something.
Yeah.
Because nothing had happened up until that point, and I thought I'd miss it.
Were you more afraid of missing a commercial or missing a Jared Goff snap?
Boy, how terrible was Jared Goff?
He was bad.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Now, he's just a kid. He's got time. But, you know, here's the bottom line. Here's the truth. Terrible game, but people hate the Patriots, but people hate Tom Brady, but you don't want to, you know, beat him. Until you beat him, he's Tom friggin' Brady.
I love Tom.
Well, there were questions about whether or not he was beaten both in the AFC Championship game.
Who said I love Tom? Was that you?
No.
That was Joe.
It was Joe.
He sounded so
guy.
Sad.
He did sound so
I don't know.
Cute.
I felt
he was crying.
I felt like maybe the NFL went out of their way in the Super Bowl to say, you know what, we're not going to call some of these calls that got us into this predicament, because there were a couple of calls that would have been pass interferences or in any other game, and they said, let's just play it. And that's what you get at a defensive game where you get a 3-3 tie into the third quarter, because there's a lot of third down bang plays where you're getting flags on a corner, Marcus Peters, but this time they're like, nope, we're going to let him play. And I just wish they would let him play, say, I don't know, maybe in that AFC Championship game where they were throwing flags.
There wasn't enough of that to produce what we saw.
Yeah.
So I hear, I feel
Patriots,
bad for
right? St. Patriots.
Somewhere in America, Drew Brees had to watch that game. Well, he threw up in his mouth just a little bit. Somewhere in America, our kicker, Corky, had to watch that game, knowing that the Bears should have been at least close to a Super Bowl.
Saints fans were holding a protest during the game. They weren't. They there was have. A concert.
Well, and
was,
the president, he said ahead of time that was...
Which president?
Our president.
Because he's got nothing else to do.
Did you notice the Washington Post commercial, by the way, late in the game?
Yeah, they spent, what'd
you think of that?
$8-10 million.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was well done.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. 6:20, we'll come back. We'll do the rest of the top six at six in just a second, which is now a top five.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
I've done this for a long time, and normally the Monday after the Super Bowl, you spend a lot of time talking about the Super Bowl. I don't know that we'll bring it up again the rest of the show.
I'm okay with that. So, I will say the one thing I take away is did Jared Goff play the worst quarterbacking of Super Bowl history?
Worse
than Rex Grossman?
Yeah, I think so.
2007. There was an article right before the Super Bowl that ranked the worst performances, and Rex Grossman of the Chicago Bears was number one. And so now does he become number two? Does he get shake that distinction?
I think he's out of last place.
Yeah.
I'll give you one good sports note from the weekend. The Hawks keep winning.
Yeah.
How about that? Go Blackhawks. There
back
you go.
Won back-to-back games on the road. Now they got one more tomorrow night at Edmonton. And they get that one, come home on a nice little five-game winning streak.
So let's get it go. Let's keep it going. It's already going, Dave. Let's keep it going.
Keep it going.
Next.
Football!
The commercials, yeah, I don't know that the commercials as an institution are ever going to be that interesting again, no matter how much money you put into them. But the NFL 100 commercial at the half, which, by the way, included Brian Urlacher making a vicious hit, was very entertaining.
I had a hard time because it was so fast. Hair or no hair on Urlacher?
What do you mean? When he made the hit?
Yeah.
No, wasn't he? Didn't he have hair? I thought he had hair.
I thought he had hair.
Did he have hair?
Yeah, I think so.
That was a big
question. Yeah, I thought they just shot that like in November or early December. Yeah. Wait, you saying it's a rug?
No, there was a second hit that looked like it was Urlacher slamming somebody into a table, and it was a bald linebacker, and I was like, oh, wait. And that made me think about, was he hairless or hair?
I wonder how many of the younger players in that commercial during the shoot had to turn around and go, who's the old guy, and why is he catching the ball on his feet?
Yeah. It's good stuff. That was good. I like the Amazon ad, too, later, the Amazon with Harrison Ford.
Look at you. Oh, my sister loved the dog.
Yeah.
Sausages.
I thought that was good. That was a good, like, late in the game to have a fresh, you know, celebrity-type commercial, I thought.
Did you hear
good.
That? Justin just said he liked an Amazon thing.
Well, there you go. He's coming around. There's an odd Twitter fight still going on between Bud Light and Big Corn, too, which nobody seems to understand, so... You know,
the corn syrup and
Bud Light did a lot of commercials about corn syrup. We don't know why. I think the weirdest commercial of the entire night was Andy Warhol eating a hamburger.
Yeah. What was that?
What was that?
Why is he dipping the burger in ketchup?
It was a documentary film shot in the 60s, and one of the scenes was Andy Warhol eating a Burger King. Actually, the Burger King may have been put in with effects, but he was eating a hamburger. And that's what it was. Andy Warhol eating burger.
I thought it was an actor. I didn't even think it was Andy Warhol.
That's what I thought, Mary. I thought it was a recreation of. But I mean, it made me want Burger King.
If you kind of have to know that, Steve. I mean, when you're seeing it, see, I didn't.
Oh, I don't know. I knew. I didn't know. I saw. I did the research after. I actually looked it up. I was so bothered by it. I said, "What the hell is this?"
Okay.
So, but that was the case in many of those commercials.
I really like the commercial with the girls, the young girls playing football. Yeah. Well, I thought that was great until I saw that their team nickname was the Macaroons.
Well, that's not good.
I think they could have come up with something good. A little more ferocious.
Next.
Football!
Trump sat down with Margaret Brennan from CBS and Face the Nation, an interview actually done on Friday, and said a lot of things that he always says, and none of them were good and none of them were important. By the way, that game yesterday was so bad, I'm actually looking forward to the State of the Union address.
Someone just said on Twitter, they read somewhere that the two teams played terrible because they knew the winner had to go to the White House.
I just saw that. That's funny. Next.
Football!
The biggest political story of the weekend is kind of inexplicable. The Virginia Governor Ralph Northam is a Democrat. And what the Democrats don't need to do is do what Trump does and act like it. Ralph Northam... On Friday, after a yearbook picture from his medical school. And by the way, what medical school allows a yearbook picture to go out with a Klan dude standing next to a guy in blackface? I don't care if it was 1984.
And it was medical school. It wasn't even high school. It was medical school. That's after college.
Yeah.
1984 was the year Jesse Jackson ran for president.
Yeah, it's not like it's 1944. It's 1984.
Even like I was 14, I didn't know better. No, you were in your early 20s.
So anyway, you say Ralph Northam says, "Wow, I'm really sorry. I understand why people are offended on Friday." And you're thinking, "Well, you know, he said the right thing. It's a horrible picture to be in." He said, and on Saturday, he holds a press conference and says, "Well, that wasn't me."
Man, that's so weird.
It wasn't me at all. And we'll play this clip later. But he as part of his explanation. He threw in the fact that he knows it wasn't him because he remembers another terrible decision he made where he wore blackface in a Michael Jackson dance contest.
He's like, that was a different blackface.
It's just inexplicable.
Well, and the best part, you're leaving out the best part of that part is he almost did the moonwalk and his wife stopped him.
Inappropriate, yeah. Ralph. Ralph, yeah. That's inappropriate.
Inappropriate. Next,
football!
Residents on the Kankakee River worried about the melting of a 7-mile-long ice jam.
Yeah.
Has anybody driven by that? That's got to be crazy weird to see.
I saw a drone video above it, and it does look very, very scary.
Adam Phillips lives right on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have an engineer who lives on the Kankakee.
Well, that's enough to make Adam cranky. The rising temperatures are adding to the rising water levels. Flooding, of course, could be next. Critics are questioning how effective some of the public transit is in extreme temps, too, because the Metro and South Shore lines were closed for 3 days last week.
We have to have, like, a town forum or something to discuss how that did not work in cold weather. 3 days without a Metro train to a lot of the south suburbs and to northwest Indiana. That's critical. I mean, that cut off, that's a lifeline for so many people who have to get to work in Chicago. For that to not work at all because it got cold, I think that it can't just go away.
Well, it got more than cold, but it's got to be able to withstand it, and you can't close it for 3 days.
The CTA, I give CTA a bit of credit. Those trains ran fine. There were some delays, but they were able to make it through.
And
football!
Matt Nagy, NFL Coach of the Year. And the Blackhawks, as I said, heating up 4 in a row, Edmonton tomorrow on your Blackhawks radio station. That's your top 6 and 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 and 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Most.
Hardest working man in the medicine business, Dr. Kevin Most. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. We thank our good friends and partners all over Northwestern Medicine. Hi, Doc.
How you doing, Steve?
I feel badly about having to come to... Doc lives about, I don't know, 20 minutes from me. And I was concerned that we may have lost him during the game last night because of its incredible crushing boredom. So I went over last night. He'd fallen asleep on his couch, and I hit him with the paddles twice to bring him back. So that's how boring the game was.
You want to hear about something boring that we can talk about later? Our WGN radio station apparently did a pool of who they thought was going to win or not, and there's like 7 people that participated.
I participated.
That's pretty funny.
And I know Justin came in last.
I participated.
Only 7
you know
people.
Yeah, it's the most impressive. Well,
who did it? I didn't know anything about it.
I guess Ryan Burrow did, but I don't remember
who
seeing
won?
The email. Pete Zimmerman came in second, but he hasn't paid in, so he doesn't know if he's going to get the payout.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
It's
the worst pool
it's a really
ever.
The list
and I didn't do it, meaning I put in and I put the $10 I forgot in the second week.
Terrible.
And then,
oh.
So then I was like, well, I'm done.
Terrible.
So I never put in again.
Doc, I believe, and you're a sports guy your whole life, I believe that Super Bowl shouldn't count because it wasn't even mediocre, let alone super. So I think they should have to play it over.
Well,
with different teams.
The thing that was most amazing is there's more controversy on how long the national anthem went than any part of the game.
Yeah. Well, Gladys Knight's great.
Yeah.
You can always count on Gladys Knight. So Tom Brady's only won 5. 6th one didn't count.
I didn't hear,
give him half. 5
I
and a half.
I didn't hear Doc agree with you, Steve.
Oh, I totally agreed. Wasn't that a terrible game, Doc?
It was. I have to be totally honest with you. I watched the first half.
And you bailed.
Yeah.
That's a medical professional, Dave.
Yeah.
That is a guy who went to med school, who runs a big hospital and a big other place like a hospital with therapists and all of that. He's really, really in demand. He's a busy guy, and he says it was boring.
Would you not like a 1-0 baseball game?
You know what, Dave? I was just going to say
it's different. That's completely different.
You know what? If you had some skin in the game, if there were people that you were interested in playing, but you know the two teams just weren't all that attractive.
If the Bears were in that Super Bowl, I still would have hated it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But Dave does make a good point. Score does not make a game exciting and interesting.
No, so the way the game was played, which was pathetic.
Yeah.
I was at the greatest World Series pitched game ever, and it's Game 7 in 1991, 0-0, and the Twins won it 1-0 in 10 innings. That was a great game. And you just see it the
Is
whole
that
time.
Jack Morris?
Jack Morris, exactly right. All right, Doc, let's talk about medicine, shall we? I mean, unless you want to keep talking about this.
Now, let's talk about medicine and some business side of medicine for once.
The money, the cost, that type of thing. So here's the deal. There's less people becoming doctors. Are there less people becoming nurses?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So we definitely have, you know, we have the threat of both the nursing shortage as well as a physician shortage. And, you know, one of the things we talked about, everyone's been talking about it, we're going to have a recession. And, you know, a recession is bad for the economy and bad for everything. But in medicine, it actually helps a little bit because the docs that we're going to retire, the nurses that we're going to retire, actually stick around for a couple more years and help us with this shortage that we see coming probably in the same time frame.
So if, in fact, you know, the stock market, not tanks, but heads considerably south, if the GDP growth remains where it is to flat, I mean, where it is like today, that's not a terrible thing for our health?
Well, no, it is. It's a terrible thing for health system. From a workforce point of view, it's okay, but from the health system point of view, it's terrible. A bunch of things happen. Elective surgeries go down, and that's bad for the hospital, but it's also bad for the individual. Take yourself. You want to have your knee replaced. Mm-hmm. Recession comes, and all of a sudden, you're going to be a little bit more careful how you're going to spend those deductible dollars to make sure that they go the miles that you want them to go. People are going to stop doing screening colonoscopies because of the out-of-pocket expense there because we're in a recession. And philanthropy is probably one of the bigger things. We have hospitals, you know, Lurie Children's, I'm not sure exactly, but I would bet you that 8 to 10% of their operating income is from philanthropy. And you have a great person leading that institution, Pat Magoon, who's absolutely wonderful. And I bet you that he is concerned because people think, oh, no, it's only, you know, Ann Lurie and all these millionaires and billionaires that give money. No, you know, they rely on the guys from the street, the hardworking people that say Children's Memorial is doing the right thing and taking care of kids, and I'm going to give them some money. And philanthropy dollars go away in recessions as well.
You know, Doc, it's interesting because recessions and obviously paying attention to how that would affect the medical or traditional medicine. But do we have to look and see how technology is having an impact on traditional medicine and maybe think about how the customer is changing or the consumer is changing as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Justin, it's amazing, you know, when you talk about things like that. What's happening with the generation that's going on right now and what's happening with technology? Amazing things are happening with technology that, you know, we talk about it a little bit here, but there are things that we're just scratching the surface now. Some of the things that Amazon and Apple are going to be doing here are absolutely fascinating. And will it decrease the cost of healthcare? It might. Is it going to fragment it a little bit? It might. But it's the future of medicine, that's for sure.
What about millennials? You know, I mean, they're going to be the next phase of people that need healthcare. Is that changed the world?
Absolutely. It's changing how we practice. I mean, everyone probably notices, boy, there's another urgent care, another immediate care being put there. They seem to be popping up almost on every corner here. And millennials are one of the forces there. They want care that's easy. They want it that's affordable. They want it on their schedule. So the loyalty to a certain physician for millennials is actually going away. They change jobs very frequently. They move without, you know, really pretty easily, I'll say. They'll change jobs. And if you ask a millennial who their doctor is right now, they're like, well, I go to the clinic down the street, and I go when I want to go and not when they tell me to go.
That, in effect, doesn't help the overall cost, does it?
No, not at all. Matter of fact, the concern that a lot of people have right now is those individuals who are in their 20s and mid-30s and late-30s, that millennial generation right there, that have not had the continuity of care and the longitudinal care, are out there. They're pre-diabetic. There's some obesity problems there. There's hypertension problems there that have been identified. There's cholesterol problems here there. So a lot of the things that we would start treating patients for and watching for and educating them for are not being done because they're getting their care just when they need it, when they feel like they're sick or they got hurt.
So, Kevin, how did that happen? Like, these kids grew up going to doctors. Was the experience unpleasant or took too long, or their parents took them to the doctors too much, and so then they had a bad taste?
Yeah, you know, I think it's part of that. I think it was and they're smart. And you know what? Medicine is inefficient. If you think about it, if you call your doctor and they say, oh, okay, we'll see you next Thursday at 2 o'clock. Well, next Thursday at 2 o'clock may not work. And this generation of people is saying, you know what? If that's what you're going to offer me, I can find an option over here because now the business of medicine has identified that these individuals want something else, and they're going to provide it to them. So once you start to find the path of least resistance that's less disruptive for you and your business and your work life and your social life, you're going to follow that because you feel that the quality can be delivered somewhere else at a more reasonable price and at the time that you want it.
Millennials don't want to go places and look people in the eye. They want telemedicine. They want app medicine. And is that going to be a thing in the relatively near future?
Oh, absolutely. you know, telemedicine, we're just, again, it's in its infancy, but we think of telemedicine right now as something where I'm going to look in a computer and talk to somebody, and it's going to go well beyond that, just with some of the things that Apple will be able to do with their Apple Health, and as far as what we're going to have with wearables, and what portions of exams you're actually going to be able to do in your house. And as a matter of fact, you know what? You want a hospital room? You can buy one on Amazon right now. Think about that.
Yeah. I was going to say, how much?
Go on to Amazon and put in the space bar or this search bar, Med Modular. And for $285,000 plus $4 for shipping, they will ship you a hospital bed that's a modular hospital bed, a hospital room.
So they'll set you up like with a complete room?
Absolutely. Complete room, bed, everything.
And less chance of infection.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the question that has an impact on the business, because as Amazon and Apple and others come along and they change the technology, and then others who are in the medical field change the way they make instruments, is that going to make it easier or harder for hospitals to compete?
Oh, harder. Harder for us to compete. Absolutely. You're going to start to see more technology that's going to be available to consumers that used to have to go to the hospital for, whether it's testing, and then you're also going to see more imaging, outpatient imaging, where hospitals make a little bit of a margin there, and we need that margin to reinvest on new equipment. So you'll definitely see technology. Think of this. How often do you go to your doctor and you tell him your symptoms, and he kind of listens to you and then tells you what's wrong and what he thinks is wrong? What if you did that and Alexa was who you were telling your symptoms to, and Alexa said, oh, it sounds like this, using artificial intelligence and data, and we're going to send you this medication, and don't worry about it. We'll have it delivered to your house by Amazon Prime. You just eliminated a trip to a doctor's office or an emergency room, possibly.
This weekend with the ice before it all melted this morning, I did one of the most spectacular falls you could possibly do. Feet went straight up. I mean, I flew. I was a flying Karamazov brother for a bit, and landed on my left hip and knee and smacked my head on the sidewalk. So it was truly spectacular. So I went in, and I held my hip up to Alexa and got nothing at all. So we're not quite there yet.
We're not as far as we need to be, correct.
Okay.
But it would
Alexa
not
said, pull your pants up.
Right. It would not surprise me, and people will laugh, but 20 years from now that you might be able to do a simple x-ray with a piece of equipment in your home.
Doc's notes are always furnished with the podcast, and you can pick them up with the podcast, which will be posted shortly after we're done here. We'll come back, Doc, do the lightning round about some very interesting partnerships coming up in medicine.
Yep.
Dan Hanthen was supposed to be joining us after 7 to talk about this game. He was so depressed by it, he got on a plane. He's flying somewhere today. So we'll effort a hamp after he lands, but apparently he forgot that he had a flight this morning. So
I think that he would agree with Dave, though, that it was a defensive juggernaut.
No, I think he would have said the game sucked.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I guess we don't know, do we? Because we can't get him on the phone. Doc Most is with us, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. All right, Doc, let's go lightning round. Some interesting partnerships coming up. Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, JP Morgan, Chase, Berkshire Hathaway, all in business together?
Not all in business together. All kind of doing their own thing right now, but they're all kind of have a similar tone here. And it's kind of interesting. I'll ask you, who owns your medical records? Your records about you?
I don't know. I didn't know there was going to be a quiz.
Yeah.
But you think us. He does. Don't we own our own? Yeah.
You think you should, right? But how do you get them? You have to go and sign a piece of paper that says you can release my records to someone else, right? You move to a new state, you have to go and sign a form so that your records can be removed. Now, EHRs have changed that a little bit with MyChart and things like that. But Amazon and Apple are going to take it to a new level. Apple and Amazon are both trying to do this at the same time. What they're saying is, we're going to give you your medical records. They're going to be on your iPhone. They're going to be on your computer. They're going to be wherever you want. They are going to be your records, and you can have access to them anytime you want, the full record. But in return, we want to be able to take that data and mine it and look into it. So, Steve, you guys, you bought 23andMe for your staff, right?
Exactly.
It's kind of cool. Everyone's like, oh, I didn't know I had some Eastern European. What if Apple puts all of this information together and says, you know what, looking at everybody's records who we have access to here, we can show that if you're Eastern European descent, you should be on this cholesterol medicine.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so a lot. Based on spitting at a test tube, that's a lot of, that's a pretty good sized leap.
The negative in us says, or you're not allowed to, you have a pre-existing condition because you come from this background.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. That's the biggest concern, and who can get that data. Yeah. But what they're saying is, we have all this data scattered and siloed across the world and across people, and it makes it, we make it difficult for them to get their own records about what's happened to their body. If we put this all together, the give and take is, we'll put it all together, we'll give it to you in a way, but we want to be able to mine that data, and it'll help you. If you just had a CAT scan and now you go to North Carolina and you get hurt and someone says, gosh, I need to do a CAT scan. I just had a CAT scan. Well, I can't get it, so we have to do it. So that's what Amazon and Apple are looking at. You know, Berkshire Hathaway, J.P. Morgan, and Amazon, they're saying, hey, health insurance companies, you do not deserve the premium that you get. We can do it just as good as you guys can with the workforce that we have. So they're making a better work experience, or excuse me, a better healthcare experience at lower cost.
Yeah, well, that is not, listen, the idea we're going to get rid of insurance companies is nonsense. When you hear a politician say that, it's ridiculous. However,
that can happen.
However, what you just described is good competitively and will definitely have an impact on cost and hopefully the cost of medicines as well. Doc also in the notes has an interesting story tied into Microsoft and Walgreens and what they're trying to do. Listen,
there was a Seinfeld episode where Elaine couldn't get her records when she kept going to the
dermatologist. Oh, yes.
Remember?
Exactly.
She wanted her envelope so badly and they wouldn't give it to her.
How do we know that's not where all of this started?
Yep.
It's Dr. Kevin Most, and thanks to everybody, Doc, at Northwestern Medicine. You guys, of course, are the leaders of the pack, and the pursuit of better health care starts here. Thanks for coming on, as always.
You got it, man. We'll talk to you guys soon.
The Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Michelle, the tailback, behind Devlin, Brady under center, gives to Michelle, runs it left, a dive to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Michelle for six.
Yes, that's awesome.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
We did it. We did it. Yes.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
You know, you go to a dentist and you're walking to your car and you go, glad that was over. That's the feeling I had at the end of the game. You shouldn't have that at the Super Bowl. Just to echo how lame the Super Bowl was, and I just found this out. We had the worst Super Bowl pool of any business on the planet here. And I'd like now to introduce to you the second place finisher of the worst Super Bowl pool ever, Pete Zimmerman.
Yeah.
All right, now I vaguely remember an email about this. Like, if you want to get in, you got to get in now.
Uh-huh.
How many employees do we have here at WGN, roughly?
50.
50, okay.
Yeah.
50.
Yeah. Goes down every 20
minutes. But a lot of us did it last year. I think the thing that confused me, it was kind of a confusing site, though. When I looked at it, I went, oh, it looks like too much work.
Yeah, CBS Sports, very difficult.
Yeah, I said I'm not doing it.
You know what I feel bad for is the guy that started this. Was this Ryan?
Ryan Burrow, yeah.
Ryan Burrow goes to the effort. Ryan Burrow's got a huge gambling problem. Ryan Burrow goes to the effort of doing this.
Yeah.
And how many of us participated?
Seven.
Seven.
Six and a half.
How many of us knew about it?
Well,
because I didn't.
You didn't get the email?
We got an email, all of us.
Nine. I did not. Excuse me, nine.
Nine.
Nine might as well be seven.
Nine. And how many of those folks actually put money in?
About half.
I did. I put my money in.
Okay, but you guys never carry cash.
Did
I know that's
Venmo?
A cool way to go. Yeah.
You know, Ryan is always working some sort of Ponzi scheme here. I mean, he was just collecting money supposedly for Girl Scout cookies, and then this came up.
We had the Boy Scout wreaths going on.
Right, the wreaths. Always begging for money.
Well, in Ryan's defense, he did come over to my area in the corner and handed me this crisp $10 bill for coming in second place.
So you have to pay that in, though. You haven't paid in.
Well,
yet?
I won 20, and since I didn't pay,
so you got cool. 10 back.
I got 10.
Well, that's a nice return.
That's nice.
It's also an incredibly lame prize.
It's a depressing pot, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
So can you go down the list?
So second place was $10. Tell how many people that were in it.
Kim Gordon.
We like Kim.
Who won? Did Kim win?
Kim won.
Oh, that's awesome.
Jeff Carlin. Andrea Darlis.
Jeff Carlin is Rokon's producer. Andrea Darlis is Andrea Darlis. Who's that?
Ryan Burrow, of course. Captain. Kevin McDonough.
Okay,
Kevin McDonough
sales.
From our sales department. We like Kevin.
Andy Mazur.
Andy Mazur, not familiar with
the sports
work.
Department?
Yeah, don't know.
Brian Altimer.
Altimer. Yeah, he's an all-timer. He's Rose, technical producer. Yeah.
And Justin Kaufman.
Boom.
Right, but you didn't
pay.
I did
not participate. I did pay.
Oh, you didn't pay.
I just did not participate. I forgot.
Which means you were dead last.
So I was last.
Yeah.
Well, they always suck you in saying, like, oh, man, if we get 30 people, you might win $500 or something. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Instead, you got nine and you won 10 bucks for being in second place.
Yeah.
What did Kim Gordon win?
I think she won like 50 bucks.
Okay. So she, but of the nine people, only three picked the Patriots, which blows my mind. Mm. Andy, who supposedly is a sports guy, picked the Rams.
Well, it's because people were expecting it to be a Super Bowl, not the worst football game ever.
Yeah.
And they weren't that off. I mean, in the fourth quarter, it was 7-0. It was 3-3. So it's not like the
Patriots. That's my point, Justin.
Yeah, right.
Let me tell you something. You're not going to sell that this was a good football game.
I'm not saying it was a great game.
No. It didn't rise to good. This is a bad game.
But it was interesting. It was interesting.
What was bad about it? It was terrible football.
There was no touchdowns for
you.
It was terrible football.
You have to admit, a tie game.
No, I don't.
You do. You have. Steve, you have to admit
this. No, you can't make me.
He fell and hit his head this weekend, so maybe that's skewing his perspective.
She's not kidding.
Do you have a good bruise to show us?
Not on my head.
Did you fall on the ice that you were supposed to clean up?
Yeah, well, I did fall on the ice, but it was separate ice. And if you'd been my neighbor, it would have been spectacular to see. They still do that video show where you win money?
America's AFV? Funniest.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is AFV now.
Yeah, so Alfonso Ribeiro, right?
Yeah.
Ribeiro, actually. Alfonso Ribeiro would have handed you money if you had video of me falling because it was so slippery. I'm on the ground. I had to crawl backwards to stand up. I couldn't stand up where I was. Yeah.
Steve, just sexy. Hearing about Pete's big payout at second place.
Does it change my view of the game?
Yeah.
No, not at all. Matter of fact, it reinforces it. What are you going to do with your winnings?
Well, I was talking to our expert gambler on the program, Super Joe, and he said parlay this into something bigger.
Typical gambler.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. I put it on the ponies. What do we got?
Put it right back in. Typical gambler.
Lottery? I don't know.
I go lottery. Are there 10-cent lottery tickets where you get 100 of those? No,
fantasy
possibly?
Baseball.
Fantasy baseball.
That's next.
Yeah. Join a league? Can I get join the league for $10?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to go with
the
10 bucks.
I got an opportunity for you.
My son bet on the coin toss yesterday and won $5. Really?
Boy, if you put your son's winnings together with Pete's, imagine what you could do. The world is your oyster.
It's like playing war at the casino if you're just betting on a coin flip.
Yeah. Have you thought about opening, say, an Ameritrade account and possibly investing? I think it's $8 a trade. If you find a stock for $2, you're all in.
Yeah, this is things are looking up for old Zippy.
There you go.
Couldn't be more proud of you.
And if you want to go to WGNradio.com or the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page or Twitter, you can see pictures of all of our Super Bowls, which is very fun, including Steve Cochran's feet, because he put his feet up after helping his daughter Amy move.
Yeah. And that pretty much was a symbol of what was yet to come, because that was in the pregame. All right, let's come back with the most valuable person on the planet in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
725. Here's a different version of Never Leave a Man Behind. The story goes this way. Colin Powell says, I'm on my way to Walter Reed Military Hospital for an exam. I'm driving along Interstate 495 outside of D.C., my left front tire blows out. I'm a car guy. I knew I could change it, but it was cold outside, and the lug nuts were very tight. I jacked the car up, got several of the bolts removed, and a car suddenly pulls up in front of me. Man gets out of his car. I could see he had an artificial leg. He said, I recognized you, and I want to help. We chatted. I learned he had lost his leg in Afghanistan. He worked over there as a civilian employee. He grabbed a lug wrench, finished the job as I put the tools away. Then we both headed off to appointments at Walter Reed. I hadn't gotten his name or address. He asked for a selfie. Well, we know who it is. We know who it is, and we're proud to have him on the show because he stood up and did the right thing. Your most valuable person on the planet, Anthony Maggart. Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys this morning?
I'm doing fine. I'm wondering
if you could... You got a flat tire?
Yes, I was going to say, I'm wondering if you could drive my route in case something happens to my car.
Yeah. It's that time of year. You know, it's like it's cold outside, flat tire. This is the worst time to have a flat, really.
Did you think Colin Powell would have a staff with him to change his tire? He's out there changing his own tire. Thank goodness you stopped.
You know, a lot of people ask that. He's one of those kinds of guys that never shine the light on himself.
Yep.
He's just kind of like, hey, I'm an average American doing my thing, put into some extraordinary circumstances, and he ran with it. He's really the kind of guy that you can just sit down and just drink a beer with. I mean, he's just really a gentleman.
So he responded to you on Facebook and said, "You touched my soul, reminded me what this country's all about and why it's so great. Let's stop screaming at each other. Let's take care of each other. You made my day." That's pretty cool to hear from the former Secretary of State and a veteran and, you know, a hero like Colin Powell. That's pretty good stuff, Anthony.
You know, I think what's cooler than that was I was in the gym yesterday and I got a phone call and I said, "Who's this?" And he says, "This is Colin Powell." So he called me at the gym yesterday, so myself.
What did he say on the phone?
Oh, we were just talking. He was like, "Hey, this whole news thing came out. I think some of the details were not as correct as everybody thought they were." Because I was never a contractor. I was actually still on active duty as an amputee in Afghanistan last year. So, I was a contracting officer in the military.
Got it.
So I write the contracts for the contractors.
Well, that's an important distinction, without a doubt, and thank you for your service. Tell me the circumstances.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Tell me the circumstances of you losing your leg.
Oh, so in 2011, I had a wound in Afghanistan, and I ended up getting flesh-eating bacteria, and my leg kind of rotted off. It was a great surprise to everybody.
What is the state of medical care for all sides in Afghanistan? I mean, are we in a position to take care of our people?
You know, we're in a position to take care of our folks, no doubt. I mean, we have some of the most phenomenal medical professionals in the military. I have a plastic surgeon who likes to give my leg a facelift from time to time who went to Harvard. And so a huge shout out to Dr. Jason Souza. You know, people like that, it's just different. You can't get better care than that. And so the military, I think, has been well taken care of. They do a great job of taking care of us on both sides, you know. So we're out they're kind of taking care of Afghanis as well that are getting injured.
Sure.
So,
Anthony,
or the Afghan National Army, things like that.
Anthony, to be a veteran and to be in a position where you can help out a fellow veteran, but at the same time, someone who's you know, has such a distinguished career, a four-star general, Secretary of State, what does it mean to you to have had that interaction, even if in such a small way, of helping him out on the side of a road?
Well, you know, I mean, after all these sort of interviews and stuff, you reflect on it, and I go, I had him as an absolute captive audience. He couldn't go anywhere, and I thought that was super cool. It was like, it was almost better than being trapped in an elevator. It's like, you can't go to the left, you're on the highway, you can't go to the right, you're in the woods, your car's broke down, this is it, it's just me and you, and we have this situation. What are we going to do with this situation? And so I thought that was kind of cool. Everybody talks about his career. Hey, he was lucky to meet me, I think. Come on.
you know what? That's exactly his take on it. And it's all about gratitude, and it's about those kind of moments. I mentioned earlier just the neighbor of my daughter who came over to help me shovel ice the other day, just out of nowhere, just being a good person. We need more of that in this country. I feel like we've gotten away from that. We need guys like you who are willing to stop and help anybody.
Yeah, you do. You know, I mean, I think that that's really what it's all about. Why did we get away from that? Was there a time when we can pinpoint when we were like, we won't worry about other people, I'll just worry about myself? You know, I see people all the time that are, I go to New York City and people walk around staring at their iPhones. I'm right. Like, this is crazy. You're in New York City. You can see everything. You're in Chicago. Be in Chicago. Don't be on your device. Go out there and live, you know? And I think that that's one of the things that folks are sort of forgetting how to do is to how to live. They're living through their little device, through their smartphones.
Well said,
and
sir.
So,
well said. What do you do now for work?
So I work for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. So now that the government was shut down, everybody's kind of getting back to work now. I'm slowly easing back into things. So, I got out June of this last year and kind of been doing some government contracting consulting. And so right now I'm doing that with a company called Stafford Consulting, working on a contract for the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Got a lot of really neat things going on.
And you got family?
I do. Yeah, yeah. Phenomenal wife. We've been together for 20 years, and we had two wonderful kids: Duke, who's 10, and our daughter Ashley, who's 13. So, me and the family, we've been through a lot. We've done this military thing. We're doing this transitional thing now, and so it's really been a lot of fun. You know. You know, my wife has been absolutely phenomenal during this entire thing, and she stuck by me during this whole flesh-eating bacteria thing, being in quarantine, 34 different surgeries later.
Wow.
Which is nothing compared to some of my peers. But she stuck by my side, and we're still doing this thing. We're still having a lot of fun. So, man, love her with all my heart. She's such a phenomenal human being.
No doubt about it. And we don't think enough about the family members of those who have been injured, you know, in service to the country. Listen, you're a good man. And I bet those kids are super proud of you, too. So keep up the good work. I'll call you as soon as I have car trouble. You know, you can swing by. But you are the most valuable person on the planet. We're going to send you some Chicago pizza. Hold the line, Anthony, and thank you.
Okay, will do. Look forward to it.
There you go. Anthony, my new mechanic.
He's a pretty amazing human.
How about that?
Just in breaking news, Ryan Nobles is now going to join us tomorrow. He said this Virginia stuff is getting really crazy right now, and he'd have to shortchange us today.
So. Well, we don't want that, so he can give us an update tomorrow, which all about the governor of the Commonwealth resigning. You would think that would have happened yesterday during the Super Bowl to try to bury it, but it'll be around today. He can always get a gig as a Michael Jackson impersonator. Work some birthday parties and stuff. Mm. We'll come back with your headlines in just a second at 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
We're number one. We're number one. You just heard O'Hare's busiest airport again. Next time you go to O'Hare and it's super busy and you go, wow, this is way too busy. Just know that we're number one.
So proud.
A lot of travel nightmares last week. Imagine if you're going to Hawaii. You're excited. Usually you'll connect through L.A. or San Francisco, wherever you are in the country.
Hawaii, or you can go direct.
Yeah, you can, but for the sake of this story, you can't.
Okay.
Hawaiian Airlines Flight 33. I've flown Hawaiian Airlines. Fine airline. Hawaiian Airlines Flight 33 from Los Angeles to Maui was forced to return to LAX several times before it was ultimately canceled Friday. The plane took off and landed twice, like a boomerang. Yeah. Takes off, heads for Maui. Oh, we got to go back. Don't get off the plane. Everybody hang out. A couple hours later, takes off, turns around and comes back. Came back three times.
For three different reasons, right?
Yeah. And the amazing thing is I literally have never heard of this.
No.
I've heard of a plane coming back, but not three times. They then finally canceled the flight. And for losing an entire day, all 207 passengers on board were given refunds and a $100 credit for a future flight. Which reminds me.
So they got $100.
There was an airline that once lost my mother. My mother was traveling and at the time was in a wheelchair. She was in rough shape physically. And I called the airline specifically. And I called people that knew people who got to the... I don't want to say which airline it was. It rhymes with U.S. Airways. And so I get to some people who should be in charge at U.S. Airways. And I say, here's the situation. She's in a wheelchair. So I need to know that she's going to be okay because she's going to fly alone. And see, well, we do this all the time, sir. We do this all the time. Now, this is before everyone had the cell phone and your mother didn't have her cell phone at all.
Right, right.
So the person who's supposed to pick her up is her deadbeat brother. And her deadbeat brother calls and says, where's your mother? I said, what are you talking about? She didn't get off the plane. That's a problem. 3 hours later, I found out she was still at the connecting gate in Pittsburgh. Somebody wheeled her off the plane, had her next to all the other people sitting there. Nobody wheeled her to the next gate.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
So I get a hold of U.S. Airways, and I'm not pleased. You know what U.S. Airways said? We are so sorry this happened. Yeah, we're really sorry. We'd like to offer your mother another flight on U.S. Airways. I said, you just lost her.
Yeah. That's
you're not going to fly again. So Hawaiian Airlines saying, here's $100.
$100.
Come on.
So, but think about the money that all those people, let's say they were just
tourists.
Well,
they're getting a refund for their ticket as well. So yeah, if you spent $800 on your
but
ticket.
What I was going to say is they have resorts and hotels and things that they've already lined up.
And you've lost a day.
I'm hoping that those places are going to refund them because of the... if not, I mean, it's a loss.
Well, as a person who just got stuck in Mexico an extra day because our airline canceled our flight ahead of time, I will say you don't. The resorts do not cooperate. We had to pay... We had to pay a crazy walk-up rate.
But that was weather-related.
That was, you can't get back to Chicago because of storm and
cold. They can't decide what's wrong with their plane.
This is a mechanical failure from a brand name business that this is what they do. So there, it should be, I don't know what the cost should be that should be given back to customers, but $100 seems pretty low.
$100 plus the cost of your ticket.
Yeah, but
you know what you give them? You refund the ticket and you give them Portillo's for life. That's what you give them. You know, something that they can actually use.
Maybe you join a couple WGN radio newsroom pools. You make a $10 here, $10 there.
Right. Suddenly your money is just piling up. Ryan Nobles normally joins us on a Monday. Was unable to do that today because he's all over the Commonwealth of Virginia's Governor Ralph Northam's resignation or not story. This is a big story for reasons of the times we live in, and it's just outrageous the way the guy is handling what came out. And what came out was a yearbook picture from his medical school yearbook. What year was it? He was like Eastern something. It wasn't a medical school. It wasn't Harvard.
Right. I don't know what school it was.
But. So the medical school had a yearbook, and the medical school's yearbook, his page in the yearbook featured a picture of someone in blackface standing next to someone in a Klan outfit.
Like a Halloween costume or something.
Neither face was recognizable. Northam initially on Friday, the governor of the Commonwealth said, I understand why people are upset. And I'm very sorry. And seemingly admitted it. Then on Saturday, he said, I'm pretty sure it wasn't me. And then followed up with the worst explanation ever for handling this kind of a problem. Not just this kind of a problem, but when you have a fire, you need water to put out the fire. You don't put more fire on the fire to put out the fire. Here's a clip.
I did participate in a dance contest in San Antonio in which I darkened my face as part of a Michael Jackson costume. I look back now and regret that I did not understand the harmful legacy of an action like that. It is because my memory of that episode is so vivid that I truly do not believe I am in the picture in my yearbook.
So in other words, because I remember putting blackface on, I would have remembered the other time I put blackface on. That is the worst explanation I've ever heard.
He's saying that on his page for the yearbook, that's not him. That the yearbook editor made a mistake and that's not him. That's his.
After saying it was him.
But he's also trying to backtrack and say, "Oh, I thought you were talking about the Michael Jackson."
No. He's not saying that. He's saying because I vividly remember the terrible decision I made to dress up like Michael Jackson. I would obviously remember if I did that and I didn't do that. Let me tell you something. Wow. I'm 57 years old. I'm gonna be 58 on March 14th. It's not too early to get a gift. And I'm telling you right now, I've never worn blackface, and if I had, I'd remember.
Right. So, you know, the story of this yearbook, guys, is even worse than you know. First of all, it's Eastern Virginia Medical School.
Okay, that's what it is.
So CNN found, and Ryan probably would have told you this, found several more other cases in this yearbook of people in blackface. On page 10, there was a man dressed up like a woman in blackface.
What a terrible theme.
Was that the theme of the yearbook?
Well, awful.
Yeah, right. Later in the yearbook, there was a whole section devoted to personal pages, including three men who had their faces blackened while wearing white dresses, white gloves, and pearls. Page 34, there was another photo of a man in blackface. So, I mean, it just went on and on in this yearbook.
Yeah, and the big story that was supposedly coming out of that is the guy's stance on third-term abortions, which is controversial enough. But no, it's all about this. And this is more than just, hey, a guy made a mistake 35 years ago. This, to me, goes to character. I'm not saying he's a racist. I'm not saying he's a racist. No, I'm not saying he's a threat to people. I'm saying he can't represent government.
Yes. He's paid by taxpayers to represent them.
And he can't.
And he ran specifically in 2017 on courting the African American vote. He was going to be stick up for that community. And that's the problem. Is at the end of the day, I think people do make mistakes, and you can culture changes. He's from Virginia, and I think that there may have been like, hey, this is funny at one point in the 70s or 80s, but he's a public servant. There's a big difference when you're a public servant and it's your job to represent minority constituents. It becomes harder to do that when you have a past of making terrible race decision.
And if the Democrats want to call out Trump or anybody else in the Republican Party for insensitivity or lack of sensitivity or just outright racism,
You can't back this guy. You can't allow someone who is representing the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, to stay in office. So we'll see. There's a cabinet meeting this morning. We'll see where it goes. However, as usual, he even had to have his wife try to get him back between the white lines. After his explanation about the Michael Jackson dance contest, listen to what happened next.
Are you still able to move?
Inappropriate circumstances.
My wife says inappropriate circumstances.
What a dumb question.
The question was, are you still able to moonwalk? Because that was immediately preceded by him talking about how he learned how to moonwalk. He said in the clip that I wore a hat, I blackened my cheeks, I had one glove and shoes, and I even learned to moonwalk, followed by, are you still able to moonwalk? Followed by what looked like him about to break out into a moonwalk where his wife said inappropriate.
Yeah, he was looking around, sizing up the space around him, like, to see if there was enough room to do it.
It's unbelievable. Dexter says, I darken my face, question mark. How old is he? Did he graduate in 1884? he's got to go. And Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be coming up. Before we get to that, though, I have a Hawker Riddle. Hawker Riddle for a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Red Wings this Sunday, February 10th, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. Anna and Roe this afternoon at 4:40 has Four Seasons all-season heating and air conditioning tickets to give away as well. They're great partners, but they should go to a Hawks game once in a while and stop giving away their tickets.
No, our listeners benefit by them not going.
That's a good point. Here's the riddle. First correct answer is winner. I was Chicago's very first, built in 1951. Named for William G. for all the bond work he had done. We all think it's short, but we all would be wrong. The length is just short of 78 miles long. What am I talking about? What am I talking about?
I know this one.
I was Chicago's very first, built in 1951, named for William G. for all the bond work he had done. We all think it's short, but we all would be wrong. The length is just short of 78 miles long. 312-981-7200. We'll come back with a winner in the news next. Time now for the news, and then Dean will join us to do a little more on entertainment.
A winner on that?
I'm just getting the name now. It's just coming up. Tim Oakbrook. Apparently Oak is his middle name. Tim from Oakbrook. Tim from Oakbrook. And do you know the correct answer?
I do. It's the Edens.
The Edens Expressway.
Yeah. That's Dave and I's expressway.
I didn't know the Edens was 78 miles long.
Mm-hmm. You don't know everything, Steve.
I thought I did. This is the only thing I'm unsure of.
78 miles.
78 miles.
It goes all the way to 41, I think. No?
Yeah, but that can't be 78 miles.
Gotcha. You didn't know it was 78 miles? Come on, Steve.
Everybody knew that but me.
Everybody knew that.
It's a true story.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Entertainment. And Dean Richards joins us. So, Dean, I was looking at Tom Brady's diet.
Yeah.
And what he doesn't eat is more notable than what he does. But here's an average day. He starts the day with 20 ounces of water with electrolytes.
Mm.
And then a fruit smoothie. Yeah. He does a workout. He has more water and a protein shake. Lunch is fish and vegetables. His afternoon snack, protein bars and protein shakes. And dinner, vegetables, and maybe, if he's really treating himself, soup broth.
So basically the same as our diets, except for cookies, muffins, pizza.
Chips.
Breakfast bars.
Where's his chocolate run, Steve?
Chocolate. That's exactly right.
I had quite a festival yesterday. Remember those snacks called Bugles?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've been joking about them.
Did you put them on your fingers?
For weeks now. I did put them on my fingers. Yep. They still fit. And they're delicious, and my sodium count is about 12 times higher than it's supposed to be right now.
Do you feel puffier?
I do.
Yeah, that it's funny how there's some of those foods, like ramen noodles, if I eat those, yeah. I have instant, my hands get swollen.
That's the sodium.
Yeah.
Crank you up like a blowfish. Yep. Johnny Miller retired from NBC's golf coverage this weekend, and Sandberg showed me, speaking of food, a very disturbing video of Johnny Miller's snack habit when he watches golf on TV. What does he do?
He has his own can of Cheese Whiz, and he squirts it into his mouth.
Directly into his mouth. Not on a cracker.
Right. And I showed you the footage. He just mainlines it right to the lips. It's right. He has his own can. They have tape around it with his name Johnny on it.
You know, I didn't go to med school, but I'm thinking that's not healthy.
Because is that real cheese?
No. It's Whiz.
You shouldn't eat Whiz. Everyone knows you shouldn't eat Whiz.
It's cheese product. I don't even know if it has any dairy in it.
It's probably the same thing as like a Velveeta kind of thing, right?
Liquefied, squeezable, sprayable Velveeta.
Not in the refrigerator case. I'm saying if it's not in the refrigerator case.
That's right.
It's probably not. But I haven't had cheese from a can in a long time. But I'm not going to lie. I used to do the mouth injections also.
I couldn't do it.
Straight from the thing?
From the
my
can.
Grandma always had it in her cabinet, and I would get yelled at if I put it in my mouth. I had to put it on a Ritz.
Right. I did it because I had three older brothers, and that's the one way you get them to not touch it.
Oh.
There was a period. There was a period of
a Pop-Tart, right?
Period of 2 to 3 years where all Dean ate was Cool Whip and Cheese Whiz. He wouldn't eat it unless he could spray it directly into his mouth.
It says here, Cheese Whiz is a processed cheese sauce or spread sold by Kraft. It was developed by a team of food scientists.
Oh yeah, there you go.
In 1915, Cheese Whiz is a number of processed cheese food items.
You know what I like in my cheese? I like my cheese not to be produced by food scientists. I like my cheese to be produced by a team of cows.
I like my cheese with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cheese, C-H-E-E-Z.
Right, you can't spell it S-E.
Did you say 1915?
Yeah, that's what it says here.
But, like, when were aerosol cans, the spray cans invented?
Well, it was probably like in
you had to do it with
cream
a crank
cheese containers and things like that.
All right.
By the way, I was listening to Dean yesterday, and I was complaining about the fact that I took a vicious fall on the ice on Saturday.
Yeah.
I went flying. I was like a trapeze artist that fell from the trapeze.
Gotta be careful, Grandpa.
Smacked my head on the ice.
Ooh.
Not good. So when I came to, I was feeling sorry for myself until I heard you yesterday. You had a busted pipe?
I had a very major plumbing emergency. Literally.
Well, at your age, that doesn't necessarily mean a house.
It was 2 days and many thousands of dollars worth of repair.
And it was a busted pipe.
It was a clogged and frozen pipe.
Yikes.
And stuff you're not supposed to put in the toilet. That was put in the toilet.
Yikes.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone.
Yikes.
Enjoy your bugles.
Oh, my. Well, I'm sorry you went through that.
It was messy, but you know what? If ever there is a day that I'm complaining about my job, I'm going to remember the people who fixed my stuff and the job that they do. I am never going to complain about my job ever again. They're remarkable.
I pulled into my neighborhood, I guess it was Saturday morning, and, you know, a really big, nice house with about 14 Service Pro?
Yeah.
Green trucks and vans out in front. And I figured there's only one or two things happen here. Either they had a pipe broke and there was water over the house, or they killed a guy. Because their whole slogan is like it never even happened. And I'm pretty sure it was the water. But, you know, I didn't knock on the door to confirm, Dean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't want to get involved when you see something like that.
Uh-oh. Wendy Snyder just texted me. I'm confusing Cheese Whiz with Easy Cheese. So Cheese Whiz is the one that Johnny Miller ate.
Didn't Easy Cheese do the halftime show yesterday with Maroon 5?
Easy Cheese is a different shelf-stable cheese sauce.
Being told no.
Yeah.
We'll come back with Dean's review
of
the
Easy Cheese. I could send you the picture Wendy sent me.
I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, Dean's review of all the commercials and the Super Bowl.
I would have guessed.
And the halftime show.
I would have guessed that cheese. That I would have made the same mistake.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, they're the same.
So Cheese is the off-brand of Cheese Whiz.
Cheese is the one that you can squirt, and Cheese Whiz is in a jar. Right? Isn't that the...
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Cheese Whiz doesn't come in a can?
Oh, Cheese Whiz is melty. That stuff you put in the microwave and melt it.
Yeah. It also comes in a jar and you can spread it with a knife, I think.
It's all bad.
I saw Wendy was serving pigs in the blanket at her party. She posted a picture.
Oh, I saw that with the mustard.
Yeah.
I love those things. I have no self-control.
If I'm around those little mini wieners with the blanket, I eat them all.
Sounded
well
really
because
weird.
Of my because of my love for animals. I actually had tiny pigs and I wrapped them in blankets just to keep them warm.
I love it. It's pigs in a blanket. I get that, but you went to explain the specific food and then you ended with blanket. That's what I love. You said the little mini wieners that are in the blanket.
Oh, the wieners wouldn't in the blanket.
Wouldn't it be dough?
Go ahead and isolate that too, Joe.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 9720.
Back to Dean. This is Moron Entertainment and
Post Super Bowl.
That game was so bad last night. Like in the middle of the fourth quarter, I went out and I cut the cable wire for my neighborhood. Try to do everybody a favor.
You'll be getting a humanitarian award for that.
All right,
boring game. Oh, boring commercials.
Boring halftime show.
Oh, and the halftime show. Now we've got a little montage, so it might not seem so boring in this montage, but you know, because we took out the boring 19 minutes and 30 seconds of it, and here's about 30 seconds.
All right, listen.
Who needs no introduction?
It's lit! Had to hit my old town and duck the news, yeah. 2-4-hour lockdown, we made no moves. Now it's 4 a.m. and I'm back up popping with the crew. I just do it.
That you've just heard, I've taken off one piece of clothing like Adam Levine did
sure.
During the show last night. That was the big highlight, that we had a little SpongeBob appearance.
Well, you took off your Spanx. It's different than what he took
off. I wear four or five different Spanx at one time. So I peel those off one at a time like he did until he wound up shirtless. That was the big
That
deal.
Was the moment. I was disappointed in Adam. I think Adam Levine's great. I think he's a great entertainer. I like Maroon 5 fun. But I was disappointed because he did not look like he wanted to be there.
Right.
He just looked like, oh, God, is this over yet?
I don't know if he was nervous or that. You know, there was a lot on this halftime show because he had actually said before the halftime show, you know, when asked about the Colin Kaepernick controversy regarding all of that, that the music was going to make a statement about it. Oh, and all you got to do is listen to the music.
I don't want to spoil anything. That's what he said. Like, we thought there'd be some big thing, and then there was nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing. It was, you know, if you were listening to it on, you know, if it was a, like if I was on a light rock station, light rock with Adam Levine, it would have been very pleasant to listen to.
I'm telling you, if Big Boy had taken off his shirt, it would have been more interesting.
I wanted more SpongeBob.
Right,
bring him on.
There should have been more SpongeBob. That was the, you know, it was supposed to be a tribute to the creator of SpongeBob, who passed away recently. And
what's the tie to that halftime show with SpongeBob?
Because they in SpongeBob they had done I forget what it was called, but it was like a spoof of the Super Bowl in a SpongeBob episode. That was they
like
thought
to be in the production more. Meeting where you're sitting down with Adam Levine's people. And you know, the whole halftime thing, when the most impressive thing, by far, is the fact that they got all that crap on the field and off in 19 minutes.
That is impressive.
So you just want to watch Setup and Teardown?
Based on that show, yeah.
That is impressive. Now, for all the failings of the halftime show, in about 2 minutes, 74-year-old Gladys Knight blew the roof off of the place last night. We have a little of that for you.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes
so beautiful.
So, the commercials, the NFL 100 commercial at the half was great.
I love that. Yep.
Like the Jason Bateman elevator commercial where things kept getting worse every floor he went to.
I thought the Bud Light Game of Thrones commercials were very clever. That Andy Warhol commercial, that Burger King Andy Warhol bizarre. Commercial was bizarre, but it's everyone's talking about it today. It's actually, it was a clip for all the money that they put into production for commercials. This was a clip from a 1982 Danish documentary that Andy Warhol had done that they used and adapted last night.
Well, who paid for the commercial? Was that Burger King?
I believe so. Because so, it could have been Heinz Ketchup.
So your agency sits down with Burger King and you go, listen, we have got a Danish documentary you've got to see. We're going to need $10 million for this spot, and here's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I actually read the Ad Age piece on it that this is something that they had been working on for a while. So to because it was a 4.5-minute clip of him eating that hamburger. That's but the Andy Warhol.
They've been working on it for a while. You could have put that together at halftime.
I think that they had to, you know, it felt like they had to maybe convince Burger King or whatever.
So bizarre.
I don't know. It's working. We're talking about it.
Yeah, and apparently it made Sandberg hungry.
It did. I wanted Burger King so badly after I saw that. I was like, oh, I haven't had Burger King in forever.
The thing to remember about the commercials is that every 30-second commercial that ran last night, $5 million for CBS.
What was the deal with the TurboTax robot kid?
Creepy.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
In a word, creepy. I guess it was supposed to, tell the point, don't do your taxes online. Have a person do it. I guess that was the message of that whole thing. But the whole robot thing was creepy to me. I did like that we got first looks at a lot of anticipated movies for this year. Avengers, Endgame, Toy Story 4, Captain Marvel.
How about the Michael Bublé commercial?
I don't remember Michael Bublé.
It was Bublé trying to convince people his name wasn't Bubbly.
Oh, the Pepsi. That was for Pepsi, right.
A listener, Andrea, said Band Geeks, best SpongeBob episode ever. So there must be an episode.
Band Geeks, yeah.
It seemed, it's interesting because there were a lot of movie trailers and even television trailers, Dean. The one that was omitted that I think a lot of people online were confused about was Star Wars. Because the Star Wars movie, the next one that's coming out, is coming out this next year. This would be a perfect time for it, but Disney chose not to put it in the Super Bowl.
The commercial that choked me up the most? There are a couple that were great, by the way. The first responders Verizon thing with the guy that was in the accident, didn't know he was talking to the EMTs that saved his life. And the Microsoft commercial with the kid that was playing video games and he felt normal when he was playing video games.
Right.
His parents talking
Very
about
Very sweet, right? Oh, you softy, you.
Well, that's me. Yeah, you know me. Plus, I hit my head this weekend.
Just for the record, I didn't mind the halftime show. I thought Maroon 5 was like Maroon 5. I like that they sang She Will Be
You're
Loved.
Saying my expectations were too high?
Well, when I sent you guys that list of the top 25 Super Bowl shows, and like three of them are significant. Like none of, they're all just an average band playing. Yeah,
this is my, I tweeted this out last night. Here's my solution. My solution is if you can't get Prince,
it's unlikely. Well, Prince was number one.
It's unlikely you can. Gaga, Bruno Mars, alternate every year.
It makes sense that it would be good too.
Gaga and Bruno.
I liked it though. They sang what I liked, except for Travis Scott did not sing the song I Know, so that bummed
me out.
It's
a good song though. What's that song?
It's called, I don't know the name of it.
It's called I'm Gonna Curse Now.
I've been working on the railroad.
The problem I had with Travis Scott was the swearing because they beeped him like three or four times. And I get the concept that he's singing the song, but I would assume that in rehearsal he didn't. If you're going to be rebellious on that stage in front of millions and millions of people, do something more than swear. Like he could have made a political statement, he could have wore a t-shirt, he could have done anything else, but the idea of just swearing, it just seems meh to me.
Think that's how you could sum up the whole thing?
Nah. That's how that you goes feel about
for
the
this
game.
So, Steve, that advice also goes for you on this show as well.
All the swearing.
People don't realize how much swearing goes on.
There's a lot, actually, off the air. Yeah. I'm about to start again. all right, so you're back tomorrow. We'll talk about the rest of the world.
I can't wait.
More on entertainment. Thank you, Dean.
Bye. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
In the continuing effort to make sure you hear from all voices, we get every mayoral candidate in here. And one of the most prominent names, it'd be hard to argue, is Willie Wilson. Mr. Wilson joins us now. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Nice to see you. Thanks for coming over.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. I don't think anybody could argue about the good that you do for the community. You spend a lot of your own money. You're out there. What's the motivation to do this?
We're doing it for 30 years.
But I'm talking about running for mayor because you already have the business success. You're already helping people. Why mayor?
Well, life is about helping other people. And we, yeah, look, Mayor said Chicago just looking for fairness, equality in all 7-7 community. It's not happening. So if one community is successful and the other is being poor and left out the equation. So, you know, you can make so much money for yourself, and we do. We give it away, you know. But if we can help others make more, better living, then that's what life's for.
You know, yeah, you know, there's the poor black folks, poor brown folks, a lot of poor white folks, too.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why we have them, all of them. When we pay taxes and get people out of jail, one requirement is making sure that it reflects all nationalities.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
Dr. Wilson, I'm interested because a lot of people who have the kind of money that you have will endorse candidates. They'll get behind different candidates who may see eye to eye with whoever's giving the money. Why not do that? Why not get involved with someone who's more of an established politician who's been involved with the Democratic Party here in the city of Chicago? Why skip that whole process and run yourself?
Well, we've done that down through the years. I voted 98% time Democratic. If you look at the Democratic records and things like that, mm-hmm. congressman, president, alderman, I've donated money to them. But come to find out that I'm a businessman, all right? These politicians today take people money and buy people turkeys and everything else. You know, they need investigation, all right? They crooks. I'm just telling you, plan out. I'm going to call it like it is because I don't know no better.
What are you going to do about the aldermen? The aldermen, we got scandal amongst the aldermen. We got aldermen claiming we're a family, we don't talk, we keep our problems quiet, which is complete BS. What are you going to do to fix the aldermen?
Well, you know, we brought about 12 a couple of weeks ago to City Hall and did a press conference. You know, getting new aldermen to run for office, mm-hmm. you know, and different nationalities that we brought in. I think you need to throw them all out. I just look, 90% of them, I say 95% of them, have not been fair to its citizen in Chicago. I'm sick of it and tired of it. And people raise taxes. They run for office and get elected into the office they ran for, mm-hmm. and then still getting paid for running for another job. In corporate, you'd be
can't
out of your butt, you know?
Can't do it.
But they're not going to change. A lot of those aldermen are going to get reelected, and if you become mayor of Chicago, you'll have to work with the city council. How would you do that if the voters say, these are the people who are going to represent me?
Well, let me correct you one thing. Not if, it's when. All right.
Okay, sir.
All right. Listen, I made June 16th 70 years old, okay? I've never have failed not once in my life for the things that my heart desired to get. You know, it takes negotiation. I work with Republican. I work with Democrat. I work with anybody whose heart is right for the people. I don't care what you label them. I don't care what color you are, all right? We make sure we do it. It's about negotiating fair. Everybody got to win something, you know, because each community is different. You know, downtown, it might be picking up the garbage, you know. In the suburban, it might be sleeping on the street. In the south side, west side, Inglewood and Lundale. Up north, it may be just trying to stop somebody from selling stuff on the street or anything. All right. So you have to relate to different one, and you still must take then come to a conclusion that everybody must win, because every neighborhood is different. In business, that's what I do. If in business, I'm on a lot of board. All right. So if we got 11 people, and four of them say no, I don't bring that to a vote. I stop, get with them one on one, and work it out.
Try to figure out what the no is.
Well, without a doubt, because somebody feel that they done lost, mm-hmm. you still got issue. You got to have enough common sense. You know,
well, there's a serious lack of common sense in politics. I don't know if you heard. So you're a small town Louisiana kid. You saw mm-hmm. plenty of racism growing up. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
This is a city that struggles with race relations, like most big cities do. How do you fix it? Short term, midterm, long term.
No, you start out the right way. First thing I would do when I get in the office the first day as mayor would get a bill passed that all 7-7 community equality reflect job and contracts to all communities.
How do you balance that out?
Well, what you do, you take the tax dollars that are paid into it, the federal dollars that came into it, making sure you have a community base, the representatives there, that they get their fair share back within those communities. And that's how you start it out. You know, but you don't just take from this community to that community, give it to another community, because then you begin to create violence and things like that because of resources. And by the way, I would not add more police officers. I would not add more police officers to the city of Chicago. Instead of doing that, put the contracting job into the community, just like you take $8.5 billion and put it in O'Hare.
Would you give them a new headquarters and then the tools that they say they need?
Well, you have to start a training program. You just can't say do a job if you don't know how to be a bricklayer. But you have to take them work with the union.
It's more than the bricks.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know all these different jobs and things like that. If you gave the poor community today $2 or $3 billion, for example, right, wouldn't be able to do it because we don't have the trade, all right. But you know what? Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, gave me an opportunity. I only had a seventh grade education, all right, picking cotton, sharecropper.
Sure,
didn't have the experience. But he gave me opportunity. We trained and trained. We ended up not only sweeping mopping floor, only 5 McDonald's, not own an international company because we learned to trade.
The international company, the medical supply biz?
And TV show and everything else too. But so you take training.
Well, what did Ray Kroc see in you?
Well, he told me this here. I was honest to him. I said I have 7th grade education. I worked 10 years, 5 of those years without a day off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had my... my respect, my integrity, and those things of that nature. And we wanted the opportunity to prove that we can run a business. And he said, you know what? He said, well, look, I didn't finish school myself. You know? He said, we see the goodness in you. He said, come on. And we got the first McDonald's. Less than 2.5 years, we had 5.
And he wasn't going to give you another chance if he didn't get it going the first one.
Well, right. It was easy for me because I work hard. We're trying to make a living.
Right.
It wasn't ever thinking about me would be in business.
Failure wasn't an option, though.
No, it's no option. It's still no option today.
Willie Wilson's here and wants to be the next Chicago mayor. The website is for the campaign is what?
WillieWilsonForMayor.com.
All right. We'll come back, talk more in a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dr. Willie Wilson is here and has accomplished an awful lot in his life. And we've seen a lot and now wants to do a lot. Wants to be mayor. Justin.
You know, that we've seen quite a couple months when it comes to police and minority communities and the relationship between the two. We saw with the Jason Van Dyke trial, mm-hmm. and even the officers, the 3 officers as well. What would you do as mayor to deal with the police and the fractured relationship the police have with minority communities?
Well, we know that existed. Today, the police officer stopped me today, particularly the all-white police, and I'm going to get nervous myself. I was stopped and I was in the wrong because one day I got stopped. I was had the phone in my hand,
right?
And you can't move when you
sure.
Die. So the police stopped me and I put my hand up there and I said, "He's gonna see your eyes." And I said, "May I move my hand off the steering wheel?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, can you look over here?" He said, "Well, I know who you are. So go ahead on." I said, "Okay, thank you, sir."
But you handled it the right way.
You're absolutely right. But what needs to be done, we all know that race exists, and white, black, Latino, it exists, all right? But I think a lot of it is communication. But what I would do would put 4 superintendents of police, divide the city in 4 segments, put African-American, white, Latina, and the other in those positions. I will hold them accountable for making sure that the ranks in the police officer from A to Z reflect its population, you know, job, contract, you know, promotion, mm-hmm. and we'll make sure it's balanced out. But we also put a separate, independent, a team together that represent those particular communities. So to make sure, oversee it, make sure that they get what they're supposed to get.
So the citizens would oversee those commissioners or work hand in hand with them? Who's in charge, in other words?
They would do it. It'll be both. At the end of the day, they have to report to me.
Sure.
All right. But the citizen that oversee that represent those particular community,
mm-hmm.
would have input. They'll work with and also they have input. Because it's somebody making sure that, look, and for example, in homicide,
mm-hmm.
you don't have no minority in homicide. All right? So we got to make sure that is integrated the right way. We got to make sure the
crime. I don't even know what the percentages are. Is it almost completely white?
Yeah. No doubt about
is that
it.
Right?
99%. You know, I get the other 1%. there.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, you need to have people of all colors.
Absolutely right, and we're lacking that. Integrate the police cars, you know, so you can begin to talk and communicate with one another, you know.
Yeah.
The position, set them at the desk together. We need integration, not segregation.
What about the, because I hear this from a lot of white folks who say, why am I a racist? Why isn't it racist for black folks to assume I'm a racist?
Well, you know what? There are some black people and some white people, too, are racist and don't even know they're racist because of how they were raised up, you know, in their family. It's kind of like my religion. I'm Christian, but somebody's going to try to change me to another religion. That ain't going to happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if I'm able to set and open the doors, then I begin to listen to them, and then I begin to understand.
Well, don't both sides need to be more open-minded?
Yes, they do. But that's why I would integrate the police cars and the whole police department, mm-hmm. as well as the city of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Wilson, you have said, you know, you don't believe in raising property taxes or taxes in any form. How, you know, in 2020, the next mayor is going to have a fiscal cliff. Pensions are going to spike through. We got here comes all the payments that are due. How in a Willie Wilson administration would you handle the fiscal cliff that's coming up?
Well, that's going to be pretty easy for me as a business person. Number one, we're not going to solve it day one. All right, I'm going to be honest. Don't look. I would not lie to the citizens of Chicago to get voted. That ain't gonna happen. All right? But here's what we gotta take to do. You gotta manage the budget. Case in point. All right? You got, let's say, $10 billion budget. All right? $7 billion that in payroll. Compared to San Francisco and the other places, like $3 billion. All right? You can't run no business with 75% of your business payroll. All right. Besides just the casino that I talked about and tax marijuana, mm-hmm. and open Meg Field need to be opened back up. All right. And we'll do that as well. All right. So but you need more than that. You need managing budget. All right. So you got to make sure that $1 billion in terms of paying out money for police brutality, when you bring them all together, you're going to save some there. Right. You get rid of red light camera that on the poor people, you know, more poor people got tickets to ride and bicycles. All right? But you got to make sure you lower the taxes to bring the business in. Look, when you raise taxes higher, they go to Indiana and buy gasoline. All right? They might go to Walmart. They buy the eggs and more stuff over there. They go to Indiana. They go to Texas. They go to Tennessee. The business ran out of the city. Lower them taxes. And then you bring more international business in here, as well as local U.S. business. If Indiana can do it, Texas can do it, Arkansas can do it, create these businesses and unemployment down there, we're the Midwest, you know? But that's how you do it.
I said to Governor Rauner when he was running, I said, what are you going to do when people start saying no to you? Because of all Governor Rauner's success as a businessman, I said, politics is different because you're going to have people look at you and they're going to say no. And they don't have to suffer the repercussions of you being the boss because depending on who they are, they could have equal footing with you politically. What are you going to do when people say no? What do you do when people say no to you?
Well, ever since I was born in the world, Jim Crow Day, they've been saying no, you know.
But you're a smart guy. Look, you didn't get where you've gotten today without being a smart, confident guy. If I'm working for you and I come to you and I go, you're wrong, you're just wrong, what do you do with that information?
I accept the fact to investigate and see why I'm wrong.
Okay.
And if I'm wrong, we'll get it together. You know. But one thing you have to say about me, I'm compassionate. I believe in people first. You know, I believe in fairness.
Well, we need a little more of that, don't we?
Well, check my record. These other politicians talking about what they're going to do, I said, check my record, what I've already done.
Well said.
All right. And by the way, these crooks, the other politicians, every one of them have taken money from somebody else that already bought. I've used my own money.
How much of your own money are you willing to spend?
Whatever.
Because I always thought J.B. Pritzker, at some point he's got to go home and look at his wife and go, it's up to $200 million. And at some point you got to have a conversation. Really? $200 million? The job pays $200,000. How much are we going to spend? How much are you willing to spend?
Whatever it takes.
Because so far, this mayor's race has been a bargain.
Well, I only spent so far. I don't even know what I spent. Maybe a million and two or three or something like that. But I'm probably going to spend, in the next 2 weeks, another $300,000 or $400,000. But look, Chicago been good to me. I owe it back.
Well, you've been good to Chicago, too.
Yeah, but you know, when I just had my McDonald's, it was the people who was on welfare spent their check at McDonald's. I owe it to them.
Sure.
You know, and so I'm going to pay it back as so much as I possibly can. So, but I'm not going to die a rich man. I'm not going to die with $15, $20 million.
Can't take it with you.
No. But if I die, I'm going to die enough to take care of my family.
Sure.
All right.
I get that.
Yeah. Look, my company does a day from 20 cents per hour I did to $62 million a year in business, roughly. I give 99.99% of the money that I make bottom line to the community. People down Wacker Drive right here now ain't got nothing, no place to live. I can't pass them by without giving them some money.
Yeah, and homelessness is a big problem, as you know. All right, before we let you go, again, the website is?
WillieWilsonForMayor.com.
I don't even know if you know this. Some breaking news this morning, GOP endorsement of your campaign.
Yes, I'm proud. Look, I'm proud of it. You're talking about how you work with people, all right?
The Republicans say you're the man.
Well, hey, I'm the man for all citizens, Republican or Democratic, you know? But I do believe liberty is justice for all. I'm a firm believer in that. They have endorsed me. There's more going to do the same thing. But I didn't ask for it or seek it, but I welcome it because there are smart Democratic, smart Republican, smart others as well. We got to embrace the fact is that we're not always right. It's not about party. It's not about Democrat against Republican, police against a citizen. It's about we all coming together that make this city and this country a better world.
What's the best thing on the McDonald's menu?
Big Mac.
I'm a double cheeseburger guy.
I know you're Big Mac. But the Egg McMuffin.
Oh,
Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin is the greatest creation ever.
There's a guy I used to work with here who said the double cheeseburger ought to be its own food group. I'm telling you. There's something about the double cheeseburger.
It didn't have enough demand.
And what are you doing with McDonald's, by the way? What's the secret of the McDonald's Coke product? Because the Diet Coke from McDonald's and the Coke from McDonald's, best you can get. You got some magic ingredient going in there?
Well, that's Coca-Cola do that. You know, we got to be on the front line serving those customers. Like, when you walk in there, you're going to get out of there less than 30 seconds. You come to that counter a minute.
Quality control.
Quality control and caring about people. That's what made it success.
Willie Wilson, it's an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you all for having us.
Good luck the rest of the way. Now, we'll be talking again, but good luck the rest of the way.
But I want y'all to promise me one thing. I want you to consider. I want y'all to vote for me.
Well, you can ask. Thanks for coming over. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
We'll get to the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on 720 WGN. A lot of positive texters on Willie Wilson. Who knows? This whole thing's getting interestinger. Who's next on your mayoral hit list, Justin?
That's it, Steve.
Is that all?
Neil 11? Sales Griffin is running for mayor, but he has not responded to requests.
Declined to appear.
But I think, I don't know much about his campaign. He got in really early, and he is a really interesting, brilliant guy. He's done a lot for the tech community in Chicago, but I'm not sure he's running a campaign.
Okay.
Early voting is underway, too, people.
So early voting is?
Go vote right now.
But you can go to our website and catch all the interviews we did with all the mayoral campaign.
And we will bring some of them back. Yeah. Depending on the news of the day and things of that nature.
I got it. I'm patched in.
Let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 919, and it's Black History Month. Look, it's obviously it's a good thing, but it always amuses me. Black History Month, it's too often an excuse for the news and for the media to go, and here's what a black person did today. But it does allow you to set aside time to show specific work, which brings us to our guest, Seth Thomas. Seth, I think you should be able to do what you're doing any month of the year.
But I like having a month, though. You know what I mean? It you know, like, I like reminding white folks we invented stuff like the ironing board.
What? Wait a you know second. I wasn't told.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's Black History Month. Black people invented the ironing board.
This is important.
Yeah, that's important stuff.
Second City's Black History Month show up when?
Tuesdays and Wednesdays of Black History Month.
So during Black History Month.
Yeah. Yeah, January, Black History Month, March.
Are we talking about old sketches, new sketches, what?
Definitely old sketches.
Greatest hits.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
This is an archive show. It's the greatest hits. It's a black show.
Can white people come?
White people can come, should come. Because
can they bring other white people?
They should bring as many white people as they should.
Okay.
Yeah. You could check this off in your box. In fact, this will help with the atonement.
Oh.
What makes you think I need atonement?
I didn't say you did, but there might be listeners who do. That's all. And if you do, if you see the Black History Month show, you can tell people at work the next day, I saw the Black History Month show. I saw it twice. What you mean? I saw it twice. Come cleanse yourself.
So there's a white person listening that doesn't have a black friend. They can say they went to the black show.
They have a black friend now, Seth Thomas. I'm going to see the show. My black friend Seth Thomas is directing. That's what you tell them at the tickets. And then buy 14 tickets, and you are clean.
Unless you're feeling really guilty, then buy more than 14.
Yeah, yeah. Guilt sells tickets. No,
where do we get tickets?
SecondCity.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Now, how do you know Justin? You guys are
we go way back.
Oh man, we go way back. Yes,
Seth is in a sketch group called Defiant Thomas Brothers, which was a huge hit.
I was hoping you were going to say Black Schadenfreude.
No, it sort of is. Yeah, but he and his writing partner Paul Thomas, they went to Aspen. They went to HBO Arts Festival. Mm-hmm. They were a huge hit out of Chicago in mid 2000s, probably.
Like, yeah, right? Yeah, we the height of it was like 05, 06.
And you were broken up by Yoko Ono.
Yeah, no. No, broken up just by time, you know? Like, we kind of got our heart broke, and that kind of just changed everything, you know? Like, we knew the road. We got a television deal. We were getting paid. Had a pilot on its way, and then the UPN and the WB merged to create the CW, and they dropped everything in development. And then, you come home and it's just like, man, start over again? And
that
like,
sucks.
But I love that you're directing because a lot of times what happens is you'll have improvisers and sketch comedians who will continue to do stuff and then they realize they say, well, I don't really know what I'm going to do next, so I'm in L.A. and I'm going to be on commercials. So I'm going to just go out there and going to try to make money.
Yeah.
But for you, you have dedicated yourself to this craft and you continue to do sketch comedy and you continue to do improv. You're at Second City all the time.
Yeah.
But now to make that transition into directing, why make the transition?
Because if we're going to keep it really, really basic and black, Second City's my hood, you know what I mean? And I'm now in OG status, right? Like, there are young performers who are coming up and, you know, I can be there going, hey, this is how we do this. This is how we watch this. This mm-hmm. is how we look at this. This is what's going on.
Do you like teaching?
I love it. Not necessarily teaching, directing, coaching. These people are...
Isn't that kind of the same thing?
They're not really, you know? I don't think that, like... You know, when you look at, like, if we look at, like, a basketball analogy, uh-huh. right? Like, Phil Jackson didn't have anybody on his teams that he played basketball better than. You know what I mean? You know, he was able to manage high-level right. personalities and high-level professionals at their craft.
What's the key to directing talent? Is it trying, like, to go back to the basketball analogy for Phil Jackson? Is it just trying to extract chemistry? Is it trying to motivate the Michael Jordan of your team?
The reality is it's an ensemble business. And so what it's about is recognizing that all of you are an ensemble, and that, you know, the Second City philosophy is that stars are born out of ensembles. Mm-hmm. So the interesting part, or the most difficult part, or the trying part, is getting everyone to buy in into the ensemble mentality. Once they buy into ensemble, then you can do anything you need to.
Now, speaking of ensemble, Second City has had a long history with being very white.
Yes.
Right. There have not been a lot of African American. That's changed a little bit in the last mm-hmm. couple of years, and that's because of the efforts of Deanna Griffins and others that are at Second City, and you. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you go back to put a best of show together, it's not like going to the huge archive of all these sketches since 1950 that were done by white people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's probably a pretty finite amount of sketches that were done by African American performers and writers.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you give yourself. You know, you give yourself a rubric and some liberties. You know what I mean? So, like, I just appropriate what I want to. You know what I mean? I create a rubric for myself and I appropriate what I want to. And so it's like, hey, this was written by a black person. This qualifies. This has two black people in it. That qualifies. Give me that.
Sure.
You know,
and quite frankly, you know,
Well, you've been around this for almost 20 years, right?
Yeah, yeah. If you come to the show, you know, there's a couple of scenes, literally, there are a couple of scenes that, like, white guys wrote, and I snatched those, and, like, Change made it very clear I'm appropriating this.
Because they had a black friend?
Nope, because I can.
Because you
can. You know, since you became a director, you've changed.
You've really changed.
No, they gave me a Black History Month show, and they told me that, you know, they're here it is, and they wanted a best of. And that's the most important thing. The number one thing is that you are coming to a show at Second City. You are going to see a Second City style
show.
It's
going to be funny, and you're going to have a good time.
It's going to be funny, and you're going to have a good time. You know, and the special sauce on this Big Mac is that it's Black History Month show.
My last question to you, just have you seen being an OG at Second City? Have you seen...
explain to the white people what an OG is.
Original gangster.
Yeah, thank you.
But have you seen more inclusion, more diversity in your time at Second City than, say, before you got there?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. The scenery is changing. I just think that people don't realize this isn't like whipping a Corvette, you know, in a couple of donuts. It's like making a U-turn with an 18-wheeler, right? It's going to take some time.
Were black folks and brown folks casually left out, or were they not involved early enough, and that's why it stayed wet?
You know, who knows why
improv
white folks
is,
do what they
for
do.
For whatever reason, you know what I mean? Chicago is a white experience. It has been for years.
Do you know why?
Affluence, maybe? Like, I'm not sure.
Well, possibly one, economics. It's not a cheap sport. It's not soccer. You know what I mean? It's not cheap.
You're paying for every 8 weeks that you're in a class, you're paying $300 or $350.
You need more than sneakers in your own ball.
You got to go through a whole process. Yeah. So it's not cheap.
So,
I just don't know if you know, like, people are being reached. A lot of people still don't know we exist. You know, so I don't know if a lot of people nationwide still realize or know that there's a place where they decide, hey, I want to do this kind of work. Where do I need to go, or where do I need to be?
So anybody scholarshiping it or helping it out?
Yeah, all of those things exist.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, there's I believe that Second City has recognized, you know, it's it was a problem as far as the diversity and inclusion situation, and they are taking all of the steps necessary to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I just think that, like, the reality is things take time, and we have to be patient and recognize that things are changing, and they're changing for the better.
Unless it's a show you're directing, and then we don't have that kind of time.
No, if it's a show I'm directing,
crack
just
that
get
whip.
There. Get it. Get there. Because
a lot of things have to get lined up. They have to be willing to embrace it, Second City themselves, and then you have to get the people to come and do it. I mean, it's not like you got this Rolodex, like, okay, here's the 26 people. We got to get half of you out of here to bring the half in.
Right. Yeah, and I'm going to keep it, and to keep it 100, like, you know, diversity is a luxury. You still have to be able to do the work. You still have to be able to improvise, do sketch comedy, work in an ensemble.
Yeah, you got
to
tell.
You have to be able to, you have to put that those dues in. And so then you have to be all of that and diverse, right? You can't just come in and, you know, diversity is not going to carry you through the work.
Once you get a little self-confidence, you're going to be good at this.
I know. Yeah.
Shy, retiring type that you are. tickets at secondcity.com. By phone, 312-337-3992. Second City Black History Month shows again Tuesdays and Wednesdays all month long.
Yes.
Nice to see you.
Good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming over.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Michelle, the tailback, behind Devlin. Brady on her center, gives to Michelle, runs it left, a dive in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Michelle for six.
Took you long enough.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee. And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Adam Hoge joins us. Even the Patriots radio guy was bored, Adam Hoge.
Yeah.
That was an awful game.
I was not into the Super Bowl very much.
You know, Justin and Dave tried to convince me earlier because it was great defense. It wasn't great defense. It was bad offense played against competent defense.
I didn't say it was great defense. What I said was...
Justin said you said that.
I didn't say that. What I said was the game was undecided with 7 minutes to go. And really beyond that, look, if the Rams go in and score there before he throws that lame-brained interception...
I would have been interested in overtime.
Well, and that's exactly why I ultimately side on it was boring, because the one thing I was holding out hope for as we got to the fourth quarter was, hey, this is still a close game, so maybe we're going to have an exciting ending here. And then Jared Goff, first of all, I'll give him credit. He threw a touchdown there. Brandon Cooks has to catch that ball. All right? It was a great throw. But then he comes back with the exact same throw on the very next play against the Patriots. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? And then they intercept it. And then meanwhile, you know, when there was good defensive plays, the flags came out and they said, no, you're not allowed to hit a guy because you sniffed out a screen very, very well. So now you don't get that play, and the rules and everything. It's just like, come on.
Did you see what Sean McVay said after the game? I don't know if you were still in Atlanta or not, but Sean McVay after the game said, "I'm a little numb right now. I was completely outcoached." That's pretty honest.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was, and I.
But to have a guy say that, yeah, it's impressive.
Well, and I think I really, really wish I could get Bill Belichick to admit how much he credits the Bears for coming up with the game plan. Seriously, because the Bears showed the blueprint for how to beat the Rams and how to slow them down. There's only two times now since Sean McVay became the head coach of the Rams that they failed to score a touchdown. One was in December at Soldier Field, and then the other was last night against the Patriots in the Super Bowl. So, the Patriots, as boring as the game was, I think this is their most impressive Super Bowl, and here's why.
Really?
They lost their start.
Hold on, Adamog. I want to observe this. This is the most impressive Patriots Super Bowl. Here's why. Go.
Okay. They lost their starting left tackle in free agency. Mm-hmm. They lost Malcolm Butler in free agency. They lost Danny Amendola, wide receiver, in free agency. They lost running back Deion Lewis in free agency. They traded away Brandon Cooks, who was on the other side of the other sideline last night on the Rams. They lost their first round pick to a torn Achilles before the season even started, or early in the season. Julian Edelman was suspended for part of the year, which I had kind of even completely forgotten, since we don't really care if people do PEDs in football. Josh Gordon was a great find in the middle of the year, and then he goes away, too. All that happens, you have a 41-year-old quarterback, and they're just like a well-oiled machine. They just go right through the playoffs, win pretty easily in the Super Bowl, despite all of that happening. They're just a machine.
Yeah, I'll give them that. Well, I said that, too. You know, you can hate them, but beat them.
The only thing they're
the best.
I would say is, they were down 28-3 2 years ago and came back and won that one.
Well, I'm talking overtime. I guess I'm talking more, not just one game, but the whole season.
Yeah, the finishing.
And I should also bring up, I had a chance to talk to Ian O'Connor on Radio Row last week. He's the guy who wrote the New York Times bestseller on Bill Belichick that's out right now. And he had some information I didn't even really know about. But going back to the spring, how close this thing was getting blown up, because there was so much friction between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick over the Malcolm Butler benching in the Super Bowl a year ago, that it was possible this team wasn't even going to be together this year, like in March and April. And all of that they were able to put behind them and win another Super Bowl. It's as much as I'm tired of the Patriots, you just got to give them credit and have respect for what they do.
Yep, totally agree.
You know, watching the game last night and watching how Bill Belichick was getting so much praise for how he defended the Rams' offense, it made me think about the Bears back at Soldier Field. And we had talked about this, Adam, that a lot of the league saw not only how to handle the Rams, but the Rams also saw that they had to change their game after the Bears. Did Belichick use some of the same tactics that that Vic Fangio used in that Sunday night game?
Yeah, I think so. And Tony Romo showed it a little bit early on in the game. I think it was still the first quarter. They were actually showing some highlights from the Bears game against the Rams. And it's, you know, first of all, we should also point out Todd Gurley has been hurt since December.
Is that what's happening? Is that why he's not in the game?
Hold that thought, because I want people to be sucked in by that professional broadcaster tease. Adam Hooks here. We're talking about the terrible, terrible Super Bowl. And Justin, you were talking about Todd Gurley.
No, it's just, a very interesting game plan. Was it just all strategy and smoke and mirrors to pretend like he was healthy if he wasn't?
May have even happened against the Bears, but for sure, the game after the Rams lost to the Bears in December, they played the Eagles at home, and in the middle of that game, Gurley just disappeared. And basically what happened was he re-aggravated the same knee injury he had back in college. So was he
definitely not ready yesterday?
No, he definitely was not ready. And I could not. The only thing more bizarre than the storyline that people couldn't figure out why he wasn't playing, and I'm not blaming you guys, I'm blaming, like, mainly CBS. He's been hurt. It's been so obvious.
CBS is acting like this is total confusion. It's a great mystery. Someone gave him the wrong start time for the game. Where's Todd Gurley?
But he played 30 minutes of the game, or I don't know what the breakdown. I mean, it wasn't like he was off the field. He was in most of the game.
But I guess what I'm saying is, like, I don't understand why everyone was believing the Rams all week saying he was healthy. Yeah. I mean, this isn't the first time an NFL team.
I didn't give
team.
It to because he busted one for 16 yards right after halftime.
I think he's got whatever's going on in the knee, and I think we'll probably find out here soon now that the season's over. I just think it's a matter of them trying to save him for specific spots of the game where they felt like, okay, he's not going to be 100%. There's no way he can play, you know, 100% of the snaps. So they're just picking and choosing because he's obviously probably on some pain medicine that they put in that knee, and they're just trying to pick his spots. It's been like that since the middle of December, and people keep forgetting that.
You and I are going to reconvene for the podcast, the extra long form Adam Hogue interview that we'll talk about the Super Bowl and the Bears and stuff. That'll be up later today. We'll do that about, let's make it 10:35 this morning. That's off the air until it's available in podcast form. Last questions from you.
Also, hey, Adam. Guys, if you were bored by the Super Bowl, something that's not boring is our photo gallery of all of our Super Bowl parties. That's at WGNRadio.com, Steve Cochran Show, Facebook, and Twitter. You can see Dave's dog, Ozzy, watching television. You can see he served vegetables and fruit. You can see Pete Zimmerman's veggie chili.
And my feet.
You can see Super Joe's chili, your feet. Yep.
Adam, right. the one thing I would ask is just that we are, to wrap up the season in the Bears, there was all this talk that offenses win championship and defenses, to a certain extent, will get you there. I mean, Hamp talked about it, but it's the offense that win. But we saw from the AFC championship, the NFC championship, even some of the divisionals, that defense does win championships, and we saw it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think there was certainly an adjustment once you got to the playoffs and you saw how important it is to be able to stop the run first and foremost and rush the passer. So, you know, in that regard, even though the Bears are going to have a new defensive coordinator, I think they're sitting pretty good going into next season. And speaking of next season, can I share something that I learned a little bit about the whole NFL 100 celebration? Outstanding commercial last night, by the way. The best hit of the night was Brian Urlacher taking out Deion Sanders.
Good.
In that commercial. This is on the table. The Bears hosting the Packers to start the season. It's the 100th season for the Bears. It's the 100th season for the NFL. Nothing is for sure, but it is on the table as an option, and partly because, and I don't believe this has been reported anywhere yet, the NFL is hoping to have some kind of big festival to start the year. And because they've hosted the draft twice in Grant Park,
Chicago,
and it went very, very successful, that is kind of what they're hoping, is to have some kind of big celebration in Chicago to start the season.
Cool.
And so the question is, will that game be on Thursday night to kick off the entire season, or will it maybe be on Sunday night to kind of culminate what will be a weekend-long celebration? So a lot of that still needs to be figured out, but is 100% on the table.
Hang on one more time. Stand by. We'll come back with Bill and Wendy, too, in a moment on 720 WGN. The Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve is next. Again, the Adam Hogue podcast, the Steve Cochran podcast with Adam Hogue will be up about an hour or so.
Well, you better do a good job, because Adam has a lot of followers, so yeah, if he retweets it to his followers,
if he doesn't retweet it, he's never going to work here again. So, Bill and Wendy are here. Are you still tingly from the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Worst ever.
Oh. It really was.
Oh. It sucked.
Oh. It really was.
Oh.
What is wrong?
Did you make money?
People?
Why are you so excited?
Crazy fun.
The game?
How was it fun?
Nothing. One team had a guy named Gilmore. Another team had a guy named Gurley. That's good. That's fun.
Gilmore, Gurley.
I love stuff like that.
So that's how you kept yourself entertained?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You needed something to keep yourself entertained.
Other than the NFL 100 commercial, I'm sure you guys will talk about all the great commercials you wrote. So. And Adam Levine.
Just. Took all
I haven't seen it. I got to be honest. The only time I saw that many tattoos was the last time I saw you in a locker room. I was talking to Bill, by the way, not you, Wendy.
Yeah, I know. It's more believable with me. Although you have all cartoon characters.
Well, they're Cracker Jack tattoos. Yeah. They come off whenever I need them to.
Yeah.
So they're handy.
We'll come back tomorrow. Here's Wendy.